name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you heard Jesus ask this question, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth?" I think I know how you would answer it. You know the Christmas story well. On the night of our Savior's birth, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And when the child Jesus was brought by Mary and Joseph into the temple, the familiar words of Simeon that we sing every Sunday would also be echoing in your ears as you say with Simeon, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." The answer should seem obvious, doesn't it? Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? And yet Jesus doesn't let you answer that question. He gives the answer. And the answer isn't what you expect. His answer is no. I tell you, rather, division. Now, let's be clear. There is not a conflict here between the message of the angels and the familiar words of Simeon and what Jesus here is teaching. But Jesus is talking about two different kinds of peace. You have been listening all through this Pentecost season as Jesus travels around from city to village, preaching and teaching in the synagogues, performing miraculous signs, revealing himself as the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And yet even as he taught, we've listened in recent weeks as the people have misunderstood his words. Just last week, one of the followers of Jesus said, "Command my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And perhaps circumstances like that caused Jesus to bring this question before his hearers. "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth?" No, I did not, but rather division. For Jesus has come not to establish an earthly kingdom, not simply to establish peaceful relations between humanity, but rather, he is the very Son of God, the promised seed of the woman who has come to reestablish peace between a holy and righteous God and a rebellious, sinful creation, including the crown of that creation, humanity. The people thought Jesus had just come to teach some rules, had come just to show them how to live, but not so. Then Jesus describes the scene with these very graphic words, perhaps as disturbing words as you hear come from the lips of Jesus. "For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, or two against three. They will be divided." And then he gives the examples, father against son, or son against father, a mother against her daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and so forth. The purpose and reason for this division is the division between those who believe and follow Jesus and those who do not. Our Bible class in recent months has been spending time studying the Old Testament period, beginning with the Exodus, through the period of God's people called the Judges, and then we are now beginning a journey into the period of the Kings. And this morning's Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah comes from that period of time that we're studying, the period of the kings, that after God had ruled over his people by the judges, then under kings Saul and David and Solomon, the kingdom became divided in a series of kings, some faithful, most not, was a period of great sinfulness among the lives of God's people. They disobeyed his commandments. They neglected to follow in the ways of righteousness which God had established in his law given to Moses. They worshiped the false gods of the peoples that they were to have driven from the land of promise. It was bad. And in that period of time, not only were prophets raised up by God to call the people to repentance, but there were false prophets as well. Prophets speaking not the word of God, but lies and deceit. One of the things that was particular is what we hear from the lips of Jeremiah today. That Jeremiah called the people to repent of their sins, to turn from their wickedness, to renounce the worship of Baal and the other false gods. But the false prophets kept saying to the people, "No, it's okay. Continue to walk on both roads. Worship the God of our fathers, but also worship and obey the laws and worship of the false gods." Jeremiah, a faithful prophet, called for the people to be separated from their former way of life, to be separated from the false teachers, to be separated from the false gods. And just as Jeremiah did, so did Jesus. Jesus, as he preached and taught, was calling men unto himself, declaring himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, the only way of salvation, the very Son of God who had come to redeem his creation. In fact, it is very clear that Jesus speaks of that redemption in today's gospel. When Jesus says, "I have come to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." Here, Jesus speaks of a day yet to come, a day which you confess today in the Creed, the day of judgment, when there will be a one and final separation of believers and unbelievers, when God will destroy the heavens and the earth, recreate a new heavens and a new earth, cast away from his presence those who have forsaken his word, those who have not listened to that word and walked in its paths of righteousness, while welcoming unto himself for eternity those who have heard his word, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and followed in his commands. But before that day, Jesus said, there is yet work to do. He announces, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." Now, all of you know that one of the very first things that happened in Jesus' public ministry as an adult was that he came to where John the Baptist was preparing the way for the coming Messiah. And there he was baptized. Baptized with an Old Testament baptism, the baptism of John, a baptism that was necessary for the people of old, a baptism that was necessary for Jesus. But that is not the baptism of which Jesus speaks here. On that day, you may recall, the Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the Father said from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." No, Jesus is speaking of a different baptism here. It is a figurative language by which he points his hearers to the cross. For there at this baptism, baptized in his own holy, righteous, and pure blood, Jesus would suffer and die, bearing the sins of the whole world. And just like those baptisms of old, or the New Testament baptism which Jesus established after his resurrection, baptism is a dying, but also a rising to new life. As Jesus looked forward to this day that was still in his future, he says he was filled with great distress. Perhaps no greater anguish of that distress is evidenced than when on the night of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried to his Father, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." as he sweat blood and was filled with the anguish of the task that he was undergoing. Jesus' anguish is because of the price that had to be paid for the sins of all creation, for the sins of all humanity, for your sins. For Jesus going to the cross, there to undergo this holy baptism, Jesus bears all the sins of all time, of all humanity. And his anguish is heard there at the cross as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Indeed, this was a holy and righteous work which only the Son of God could accomplish. And he went to that cross doing it for you. But just as baptism is a putting to death and a rising to life, Jesus' distress did not end there at the cross. That was not the completed work. For on the third day, he rose from the dead, triumphant over death and the grave, and now gives to humanity, through his word and through the holy sacraments, the blessings of that death and resurrection. There, Jesus won for you salvation. But now, through his word, through the baptism that you have received, Christ has bestowed this holiness, this righteousness, this forgiveness of sins upon you. And by his redeeming work, you have been made a holy and righteous people. You have been baptized into Christ's death. You have been raised with him, according to the Apostle Paul, to newness of life. And in this baptism, you have been united together as one in the body of Christ. This is the greatness of Jesus' redeeming work. That while Jesus speaks of division through his word, he draws together as one and brings unity and peace. It is that peace which Christ himself bestows upon you this day. For in the oneness of the body of Christ, a union created by God, established in the promise of your baptism, and now bound together in unity around his word, Christ himself calls you to himself today. For just as he called the people of his day to repentance and unto himself, that they might find in him forgiveness, life, and salvation. And just as the prophet Jeremiah of old called sinners to repentance, but spoke of a coming peace, but a peace found only through repentance and faith in the coming Savior. So today, Jesus does grant you peace. Peace of sins forgiven. The peace of a promise that baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, you are a child of God and an heir of everlasting life. Today, Jesus' presence is among you as he speaks these words to you. Come, take and eat. This is my body. Come, take and drink. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And in this forgiveness of sins, Christ, the only source of true holiness and peace, is the one who bestows that peace upon you. A peace that flows from sins forgiven, peace once more with the God of heaven. Jesus spoke to the people of his day, who so often misunderstood him, and often by their own reason and strength would turn aside from him. Today, Jesus turned to the crowds after speaking of the division which he had come to bring and said, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. Then Jesus said to the crowd, you hypocrites, You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? As Jesus spoke those words that day, so they apply to the world and to the church today. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of repentance. Now is the day to come to Christ and to find in Him and Him alone true forgiveness and peace. Now is the time to be separated from the unbelievers. Now is to be separated from the world. For the day is coming when the Lord comes in glory to cast fire on the earth, and that separation will be once and final. And on that day it will be too late, but not now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of forgiveness. Now is the day of peace. Peace in Christ. Peace in Christ alone. In Jesus' name. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.